Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Monday. Stand by for news and stuff. Well, I did it Saturday at the men's breakfast. No ham and eggs, no bacon and eggs. I went for oatmeal.
Hey, have you ever had oatmeal? Of course you have. Hot and fresh, you can put some honey on that, or brown sugar, any number of oatmeal is a breakfast food sure to kickstart your morning. Now, I'm not advertising for oatmeal. I am advertising for this, however. Jesus Christ. You leave that stuff in the pot, let it turn cold and lumpy, and you know what? My dog Jax won't even eat that stuff. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ like that? It was once hot and fresh, full of new growth and revelation, exciting. Let me ask you, has it turned cold and lumpy, stale? Is it lifeless? You know, the Church of Ephesus experienced that problem. The people were serving God in every way possible, but their relationship with him was in dire need of an overhaul, so Jesus gave three main instructions. Number one, remember. We should always remember the passion and the fire that once roared within us when we first came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Very important. And then repent. Once you've seen how your love for God has chilled and gone cold and lumpy, you ought to repent. We should ask him to forgive us and change our hearts. So we're remembering and we're repenting, and we need to repeat. After we've sought God's forgiveness, we should ask for help to give us the acts that we once did in days gone by that were so helpful to mankind. I mean, the things we did for him when we first started growing and reading the Bible and praying and excited about church and professing Jesus boldly to the world. You know, when we do that, our passion for him will be ignited once again. Remember, repent, repeat. Our relationship with God will reclaim its rightful position as our number one priority in life.
What in the world is going on? Today's the day. You've been hearing a lot about it. President Trump expected in a downtown New York City courtroom today for a hearing related to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's hush money payment case. It's all about bankrupting Trump, so he won't be around to do anything for 2024. They're doing everything they can, aren't they? Trump is also set up for Monday deadline to post $454 million, ridiculous, a bond there that was imposed by his civil fraud trial. New York Attorney General Letitia James, who's accused him of inflating his net worth, granted him a 30-day grace period that expires, today, Monday. If he's unable to satisfy the judgment, James has threatened to begin seizing his property and assets. What a bunch of, well, you know. Hey, the election is near, so let me give away some more of your money. Yeah, that's buffoon Biden we're talking about, vowing to forge ahead again with his plan to forgive billions of dollars in student loans just month ahead of his expected 2024 presidential election rematch with the Donald. He's giving away money like running water, but it's not his. Easy to give away other people's money, isn't it? Despite a national debt soaring past $34.5 trillion and the U.S. Supreme Court previously serving a roadblock for him handing out these loans to the borrowers, the president is again vowing to forgive those borrowed sums. I will do it anyway. From day one, I promise to fix the broken student loan program and make sure higher education is a ticket to the middle class, not a barrier for opportunity. Does anyone believe this garbage? I'm sure they do. Hey, ever had one of your kids or grandkids argue that marijuana's okay, doesn't hurt you? As marijuana legalization heaps up the competition among vendors nationwide, some experts are warning about the sneaky side of smoking this stuff. Daily weed smoking can cause major complications for heart health, according to a new study published by the Journal of the American Heart Association. And I think most normal people would know that. But, hey, if you like that stuff, you'll find an argument for it, won't you? Sure you will. What's this one all about? The wife of James Cargill II, a billionaire in America's fourth wealthiest family, bashed a small-minded community in Minnesota for their concerns about buying up lots of homes along the beachfront there in Duluth. The wife tells the local mayor that don't pee in your Cheerios. What? after he had a letter asking, why are you buying all this property? I don't know, all my life, I've never heard that term before. Anyway, she just said, I'm not going to beautify the community now. I was just trying to do something nice. She bought like 20 beachfront homes. She said, we're all a bunch of, well, we can't say that on the air. And so she's not going to be nice about it anymore. Boy, people are strange, especially if they have money or notoriety or any of that. Got a story coming up after a bit about Caitlin Clark and her notoriety. Well, you can't pray when students are present. A school district in Texas being taken to court because of its decision to ban an employee from praying. The law firm goes to federal court in Houston on behalf of Stacy Barber, who is an employee of the Katy Independent School District. The federal court filing explains that the district violated and continues to violate her rights to religious expression by prohibiting her from praying when students might be present there, even if the prayer occurs off the clock. The whole case involves a teacher who wanted to engage in prayer outside the school building before the school day begins. Every year, millions of people gather at the school flagpoles to pray before the school day begins. We're very proud to stand in support of See You at the Pole, a prayer rally for students and participating adults to lift up their schools in prayer. Our client has prayed at the pole every year on behalf of her students, so what's the big deal? Oh, there's always a big deal when the prince and the power of the air is ruling things and involving people who are demonically led. Yeah, prayer. You can pray, but not when students are present. You out of your ever-loving mind? Okay, bring my high horse over here, and while you're at it, grab my gun right there. So, what's the left-leaning loonies up to now? I watched 60 Minutes last night. Did you see it? Leslie Stahl. What a bunch of left-leaning Looney Tunes trying to somehow prove that you, if you're a conservative, a Christian, maybe a Republican, you are the bad people in America, destroying everything. I'm telling you, this thing was so slanted as she tried to prove that it's actually Republicans messing everything up, telling all the lies, feeding all of the gaslighting stuff. Oh, my goodness. She basically said most of the misinformation and the lies that we hear today on television and coming from Republicans, really. When I got all done, I was almost ashamed of myself until I gathered my thoughts and realized these people are nuts. Yeah, Leslie Stahl, what a hatchet job. I think one of our best voices in Congress, James Jordan from Ohio here, 4th District, serving his 9th term. Oh, he was interviewed. Yeah, I found out that the Democrats are right on everything and Republicans are wrong on everything after watching this piece of garbage. And that was followed up by the interview with the Mexican president. That would be Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. Again, everything's wonderful in Mexico, and the border crisis is really America's fault, and we can't possibly close the border because it would ruin our greatest trading power in the world, Mexico. And I tell you what, you can be confused. Who is the author of confusion? Why was Obrador smiling all the way through the interview? Smiled all the way through the interview like, are you believing this stuff I'm feeding you because you seem to be believing me? Oh, it was awful. Yeah. Everything's wonderful. No trouble really in Mexico. Is that right? Why is everyone fleeing here? Why do you have all of the murders on the street? Everything's great in Mexico? Okay. See, you just can't believe these people. Not for one second. I'm always asking the question, who do you trust? Let's go down to Florida, Orlando City. What's going on? Well, when Orlando City Commissioner Regina Hill heard about an older woman living in her community in deplorable conditions, back in 2021, she decided to reach out and help the woman. Really? But rather than helping this vulnerable adult who reportedly has a cognitive disability and is exhibiting some natural signs of aging, Hill appears to have helped herself. Within a month of her first contact, Hill made herself power of attorney, got all the legal things drawn up. for the 96-year-old, leaving her in control of the woman's financial affairs, and with that authority and power, over the next 2 years, she helped herself to $100,000 in the woman's savings, really? Treating herself to a facelift, and she needs one. a vitamin IV infusion or two, a Miami getaway, New Year's Eve party, purchasing a home in the woman's name, and good grief, Charlie Brown, where's my... Oh, never mind. So we set the record straight right now, telling you there are no perfect people, which you already know, but sometimes we think, wow, who's the greatest female basketball player of all time? Of course, it's Caitlin Clark. Another sensational performance yesterday. Clark dropped in near triple-double figures, posting, well, made 27 points, down day four, 10 assists and 8 rebounds, as the Iowa Hawkeyes dominated the Holy Cross Crusaders big time. But instead of her performance, fans took notice of her on-the-court antics during the contest. You're not on. You're not your A-game all the time. She headbutted the basketball one time, getting in the ref's face and crying, complained to her dad who was in the crowd. By the way, dad turned around and said, "Shut up, play basketball." Oh, that was a dad moment. That was a good one. Yep, she has so much talent. But they say her entitled attitude is so bad already. She gets mad at refs when she flops and doesn't get a foul called. And, yeah, you can't be great all the time. Here's just been heralded as the greatest female basketball player of all time. And already, she hasn't left college. Already, getting the hammer dropped, huh? That's life, people. We all mess up. You're never on your A game all the time. How about you? I remember once in my life when I had a... Oh, that was... I meant today. It was already today. And finally, those of you listening have served in the military, men and women, a big thank you for your service. Who said that, by the way? In the 1940s, males faked their age to fight in World War II. In 2024, males pretend to be females so they can win in, well, any sport. It's the new America, a flood of evil.
Another voice from the past, unfortunately silenced too soon for most of us. We will be civil, but we will not be silent. Adrian Rogers. That's it. Where's my Bible? Life 101, the Christian in politics, next. Just joined us. This is Hello World. News, information, and comment from a conservative voice out of Midwest every day at this time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all the goodies you send us, by the way. It's very helpful. Join me on Facebook, Greg G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Want to hear what we said last year this time? Go to gregpatton.com. Last week, last month, last year, all the programs are archived there, my friend. And thanks to this radio station and you for your support of Hello World. It is such a blessing to have you here.
Politics and the Christian. What do you think?
You know, it's our contention that it's the duty, it's the responsibility of every Christian to vote and to vote for leaders, now get this, who promote Christian principles. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? God is most certainly in control of this old world, but that does not mean that we should do nothing to further his will. We're commanded to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that good? In terms of politics and leadership, there's evidence in Scripture that God has been displeased with our choices in leadership in times past. Hosea 8:4, the evidence of sin's grip on this old world is everywhere, and much of the suffering that's found on this earth is because of godless leaders. Proverbs 28:12. Scripture gives Christians instructions to obey legitimate authority, unless it contradicts the Lord's commands, Acts 5:27 through 29, and read Romans 13. As born again, Believers, we ought to strive to choose leaders who will be themselves led by the Creator. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 through 25. Read that. Very good. My friend, do not vote for candidates or proposals that violate the Bible's command for life, for family, for marriage, or faith. They should never, ever, ever be supported. Proverbs 14:34. Christians should vote as led through prayer and study of both God's Word and the realities of the choice you have there on that ballot. Christians in many countries of this world are oppressed. They are persecuted. We used to talk about this, the other lands. They suffer under governments that are powerless to change and governments that hate their faith and silence the Christian voice. These believers preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at the risk of their own lives. Here in the United States of America, in days gone by, Christians have been so blessed with the right to speak about and choose their leaders without fearing for themselves or their families. That's changed in the last few years. Did you know in the recent elections in the United States, about 2 out of every 5 of the self-professed Christians took their right for granted and just did not vote? And 1 in 5 self-professed eligible Christians are not even registered to vote. So now more than ever, in our day, our age, there are many who want to drive the name and the message of Jesus Christ completely out of the public arena. The main key here is voting. It's an opportunity to promote, protect, and preserve godly government. And passing that up, that opportunity means letting those who would denigrate the name of Jesus Christ have their way in your life. The leaders we elect or do nothing to remove have great influence on your freedoms. They can choose to protect our First Amendment right to religion, freedom, and the right to spread the gospel, or they can restrict those rights. They can lead our nation toward righteousness or toward moral disaster. And as Christians, you ought to stand up. You ought to follow the command and fulfill your civic duty, Matthew 22:21. So as followers of Jesus Christ, what should our attitude be? What should our involvement be in politics? It's been said religion, politics don't mix, but let me ask you, is that true today? Can we have political views outside the considerations of our Christian faith? Now, that's a really good question, don't you think? And there's a definite answer here. The answer is no, you cannot. The Bible gives us 2 truths regarding our stance toward politics and the government. And by the way, that was the $64,000 question. Separate politics and your faith? The first here is the truth that the will of God permeates and supersedes every aspect of your life. It's God's will that takes precedence over everything and everyone, according to Matthew 6:33. God's plans and purposes are fixed, and His will is inviolable. That means it's never broken. What He has purposed, He will bring to pass, and no government can thwart the will of Almighty God. That is Daniel 4:34 and 35. In fact, it is God who sets up kings and disposes them, Daniel 2:21, because the Most High is sovereign, don't ever forget that, over the kingdoms of men, and gives them to anyone He wishes, Daniel 4:17. So a clear understanding of this truth will help us use and see that politics is merely a method that God uses to accomplish His will. Even though evil men will abuse that political power, meaning it for evil, God means it for good, working all things together for good to those that love Him, those that have been called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. And then there's this. We must grasp the fact that our government cannot save us. No man can. Only Almighty God. And this is so important. We never read in the New Testament of Jesus or any of the apostles expending any time or energy schooling believers on how to reform a pagan world of its idolatry, its immorality, the corrupt practices of the government. The apostles never called for believers to demonstrate civil disobedience, to protest the Roman Empire's unjust laws and their brutal schemes. Nope. Instead, the apostles commanded the first century Christians, as well as you today, to proclaim the gospel and live lives that give clear evidence of the gospel's transforming power. There's no doubt. Our responsibility to the government is to obey the laws and be good citizens, Romans 13, and God has established all authority, and He does so for our benefit, to command those who do right, 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. Paul tells us there in Romans 13 that the government's responsibility is to rule in authority over us, to collect taxes and keep the peace. Where we have a choice and elect our leaders, we should exercise that right by voting for those that best demonstrate Christian principles in this old world. one of Satan's greatest, grandest deceptions that we can rest our hope for cultural morality and godly living on politicians and government officials. The church has made a mistake if it thinks it's the job of the politician to defend, to advance, and to promote your Christianity. Here it is. Our Christian mandate is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach against the sins of our time. Our mission lies not in changing this nation through political reform, but in changing hearts through the word of Almighty God. When believers think the growth and the influence of Christ can somehow be allied with government policy, you corrupt the mission of the church. Believers throughout the ages have lived and even flourished under antagonistic, repressive, and pagan governments. This was especially true in the first century. Believers there who were under merciless political regimes sustained their faith under immense cultural stress. They understood that it was not they, not their governments, who were the light of the world and the salt of the earth, but Almighty God. No politician gonna save the world, no political entity. The salvation for all mankind has been manifested in Jesus Christ. You know, God knew that our world needed saving long before any national government was ever founded. He demonstrated to the world that redemption could not be accomplished through the power of a man, economic strength, military might, or politics. Peace of mind, contentment, hope, joy, the salvation of mankind are provided through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. That is so critical. Politics, not the answer. Jesus is. And here's the key. We can be involved in politics. We should be involved in politics, but we should never be obsessed with politics. Ultimately, we're to be heavenly minded, more concerned with the things of God than the things of this old world, Colossians 3. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're members of the same political party, really. We're waiting for our King to return, Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And this is the most important thing to remember. Politics is not the solution. Jesus Christ is the solution, and no politician, no government is ever going to solve all the problems of this old world. Only Jesus Christ does, and in that day, he will, Revelation 21 and 22. Let me just say this in closing here. I unashamedly call myself a political conservative. I have a severe distrust of the government. I believe it's the most inefficient and ineffective way to accomplish most things. I strongly disagree with the left on most political issues. And while I believe liberals and progressives are terribly misguided human beings and naive about what big government will eventually bring in, I strive to not question their motives, really. At the same time, while I find myself in agreement with conservative politicians on most issues, I don't believe electing Republicans is the answer to everything. For me, very sadly, the main difference between Republicans and Democrats is how quickly they want to drive the car off the cliff. And I do pray that these thoughts have helped you just a little bit. Go to him, the author and the finisher of your faith. God will give you the answers you need in life in every area. And finally, it happened so long ago. They went to see the old Cherokee chief talking about some U.S. government officials trying to figure out where the white man has gone wrong. The government official said, "Where did we go wrong, chief?" He stared at him for a moment and said, "Well, white man found this land. Indians were running it. No taxes, no debt. Plenty of buffalo and deer, turkey and beaver. Women did most of the cooking and the crop work. Medicine man free to help the sick. Indian men hunted and fished. We never had cheating husbands and wives. We killed cheaters." The chief smiled and said, "White man dumb enough to think he could improve that system." That's good, chief. And it's true. We can do it better. That's it. Have a say for another day this Monday. Join me on Facebook, would you? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. More and more every day. Thank you very much. And that's the way it is. Monday, March the 25th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great day.